Welcome to Business Isn't Hard. This episode is your blueprint for building a career that actually fits you. We're talking about how to find your elite performance zone, boost your energy, speak the right languages, and shut down doubt before it shuts you down. If you want to know exactly how to be successful, this episode's for you. We have a really special guest today, so let's get started. Welcome to Business Isn't Hard. Today's guest is a very special one. For those of you who don't know, I started this podcast for my thesis. Today, I'm sitting down with Dave McClurg, who actually inspired me to do it in the first place. Dave has experience leading startups, growing businesses, and Fortune 500 companies with an emphasis on revenue generation. He's an investor, speaker, leader, and honestly, one of the most incredible people I've been able to learn from. Thank you so much for being here today, Dave. How are you?
Well, after an introduction like that, I can't get much better. Very, very kind of you, Oliver. Good to
be here. Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, do you mind talking a little about, you know, how you got here, what you're doing today?
Certainly, happy to. I have to give all the glory to God. There's no other reason to be able to explain that. So I'm a dual citizen. I was raised in Canada. And when I was young, I was inspired by the United States and always wanted to be American, certainly proud of my Canadian roots. But the United States inspired me with, I feel, the greatest free enterprise system in the world, where it doesn't really matter who you are, it doesn't matter what your background is, it doesn't really matter your education, that the free enterprise system, if you can bring value to it, it'll reward you. And in America, it'll reward you handsomely. So always wanted to be here. And the reason I still do what I do is I was raised by two parents from Ireland and from England. And they're really hardworking people, really nice people. You would have loved them. They passed away years ago. But I saw them work hard, but be abused at work. So not physical, but I saw the mental and emotional abuse that they faced, which, you know, low wages, long hours, lack of appreciation, lack of support. And I saw what it did to my mother, which really sort of destroyed her physically. So she died young. And my father, who dealt with a lot of mental illness, and just because of the abuse that he faced. So it had a huge impact on our family. And at that time, I vowed that if I was fortunate enough to be a leader, I was going to make sure people were treated with dignity and respect. And as I began to learn about business, I realized the person that has the most power in the company is that who owns the company, who leads the company. So I worked hard to make sure I was in that power position to make sure that everybody was treated with dignity and respect. And that's what sort of driven me from day one. And that's why I wanted to be sort of an entrepreneur to make sure that I could hire people and employ people. And most importantly, create an environment that was not only successful, but one where they had peace, happiness, and fulfillment.
That's an amazing mission. And you know, that's really incredible. So starting kind of from the ground up here, there's a lot of things that have made you successful, from, you know, your mindset all the way to tactical what you've done. Starting with your kind of mindset, you've talked about the elite performance zone. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, definitely. I believe that anybody could be good at something and even great at something with enough, intelligence, determination, hard work, and grit and grind, that a person could be good or great at something. The question is, after they became good or great, how fun was that? And how fulfilled they are. So I don't worry, like for someone like you or your audience, I don't worry about you becoming successful. There's no question. I think that, you know, you and your audience have the intellect and the talent and the desire to create something. The question is, are you peaceful, happy, and fulfilled as you're becoming successful? That's the question. And I think where success leads is being elite at something. And I don't believe that elite performance, that top 1% in performance, whether or not it's in entertainment or whether or not it's in business, whatever it may be, is a select group. I believe that we're all blessed with a gift where we can perform at an elite level, whatever that may be. So what it is finding the two or three activities that really energize us. And when we're energized, we're going to slay. It's going to be actually easy for us to be able to do. And when you focus on that elite performance zone, that's when you're going to be able to do your greatest work, because actually someone doesn't really have to tell you to do something. You're excited to learn about it. You want to get good at it. As you get better, you want to get even better at it. So I believe that elite performance zone is what people need to be able to focus in on. But, you know, for our experience, only about 3 to 17% of people really are in that zone. Right? Yeah. Most people are doing things where they're good at it. They may be great at it, but the success is good or great, but they're not, most importantly, getting the fulfillment of the happiness that they deserve.
Yeah. And so how would you approach trying to find that elite performance zone? I mean, obviously most people haven't even found it, right? They're not getting satisfaction. They're not getting joy out of what they're doing, even if they might be good at it. Is that just an experience thing, a trial and error thing? What is your approach to maybe trying to find that?
Yeah. So it's really getting people to take a lead. So when you're younger, it's sometimes a little bit more difficult because your body of work is shorter, right? Yeah. But most of what to get people to do is to look back on their life and look at the times when they really slayed it. What were the things that they were doing when they were really doing well and they were actually energized and excited by it? So what were those activities? So was it being in a meeting and being able to think strategically of coming up with a solution? Was it building a spreadsheet to be able to model a specific theory? Was it engaging people, coming alongside someone that was hurt, being able to understand what that was and being able to come to a solution? Whatever that may be. So if you can look back on your life, look at those periods of times when you really slayed it and what were those activities. Now, what's interesting is that when we're doing it, actually, it's probably easy and fun. So what happens is a lot of people think that if I'm doing something that's easy and fun, there can't be any value. That was my belief. I believe, there's no way people would pay me wicked amounts of money for me to do what I could do, which is be able to think strategically, to be able to see opportunities in a person or a product or a service in the marketplace, put those ideas together, create a model, build a capital structure, and build a right team to be able to get traction in the marketplace and then grow it. That's too easy. Nobody would pay me a lot of money to be able to do that. So I pursued things that were harder and tougher, which I didn't have any fun at. And guess what? I wasn't very very good at it. So that's where the secret is. When you find that elite performance zone, you're not only going to perform, but really that's your gift. That's what you were meant to do. And I believe that if you do not pursue that gift, I believe that the world misses out. I believe we have a gift that's meant to solve some problem in the world or to create some opportunity that's going to have a rippling effect on human beings. And if we don't pursue that, the world gets rebuffed.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, right? Everybody has their specific skill set. And if you can really figure out the combination of what you enjoy doing and what you are good at doing, obviously that's going to be a recipe for success, right? You're making the world a little bit better of a place. Yeah. And then going into mindset too, once you find that elite performance zone, then what?
Yeah. there's two other circles. So if you take a look at the first circle, you're really sort of identifying your elite performance zone is identifying the two or three activities, right, that really energize you, that you can slay at. The second circle is really the relationships that your elite activities are going to engage with. So what are the types of people on your team that you want to work with? What are the behaviors and the mindsets and the values that they have that energize you? What are the customers that you would engage with that you'd want to be able to learn about? So you think about some of the things that you've done, Oliver. You don't want to deal with a customer that just cares about price, right? You don't want to be commodity. You want a customer that's going to appreciate value added and provide a solution. So, and then the third is really, what are the vendors that you would deal with? So what are those relationships? What are the characteristics, the behaviors, the mindsets that they have? And then the third circle is the environment. So what kind of environment does energize you? Does corporate structure, a very disciplined environment, does that energize you? Or does a more entrepreneurial environment motivate you and inspire you? So those are sort of the three circles of elite performance zone. And then once you do that, once you found that piece, then the next step is really to identify what are the problems. Is there a problem in the marketplace that your elite performance zone could solve? Like, what would that problem be that really interests you to be able to say, man, I'm going to apply what I know in being able to solve that problem? And then that's where great value comes from.
Is there a way, do you have any tips or tricks on how to spot that problem, right? Like, even if someone maybe knows that, hey, I'm good at doing this one thing, I think it's a whole nother ballgame to be like, well, now I'm looking at, you know, the world, the economy, the market, and see, you know, there's a gap there. I think it can be tough for people to kind of see those opportunities.
Yeah, a little bit, but I think that sometimes people don't give themselves enough credit. Yeah. Like I really do, like to be able to sit back and say, is there an industry? So if you take a look at healthcare within industry, like what's a problem within healthcare that people that they would want to solve? Maybe it's the engagement with a patient. So maybe that initial engagement with a patient, that there's really not a lot of comfort and care. So could I take a look at my elite performance zone and be really skilled at being able to do that? So that when a new patient comes in, you provide comfort and support so that they're ready to be able to meet the doctor. That would be an example. Is there a problem within businesses, maybe in small businesses, that are not have the resources to be able to market? So mm-hmm. they don't really have a marketing person, but they still need to grow their business. So my elite performance zone is to be able to say, okay, where could we get some traction? Where could we be able to create some new customers through marketing? And then that's where you could approach it. So I think a lot of people need just to spend time to sort of think, look at the business world, right? Identify markets that said, once again, does healthcare energize you? Does finance energize you? Does real estate energize you? What sort of energizes you? If you're not sure, talk to people. That's what I'm saying. When you're a young person in your 20s, especially if you're a student, you want to pursue that because you're not a threat. People will mm-hmm. take that meeting, right? You're not a competitor, right? So they'll take that meeting, learn, like just as you've done, Oliver, you've done a number of things where your internships have been like real world experiences where you have a chance to learn something. You learn an industry, whether or not you like it or not. And then we can begin to pursue it. And then you say, okay, how would I apply what I'm good at and being able to solve a problem?
Yeah. And I think too, going off of the people component, right? You're a very people focused person. And that's, you know, the second circle too, is surrounding yourself with people who energize you, vendors who energize you, people who, you know, help bring you up. Overall, you want to surround yourself with good people. As a student, you said a lot of people are willing to reach out. How can a student or someone who's recently graduated, new to the workforce, go about building their network? Because I think that's so important, especially as you, you know, develop your career.
Yeah, no question. And the reason that's important, I just want to, a side note, someone was asking me this morning that they were just about to graduate. A friend of the family. And so they said, Dave, could I send you my resume? I said, you could. Now, you know, there's two problems with a resume, Oliver.
Well,
number one is that if you have a resume, it means you don't have a job.
Yeah.
Right. Second problem is you have a job that you don't like, right? So if you look at it that way, so it's a problem. And what happens is when you have a problem, then a person says, I have this problem and I want to send it to you to solve.
Yeah.
Right?
They expect you to be the solution.
Yeah. So the mindset though is, and the challenge is if it's sent to a person, they already have enough problems to solve.
Mm-hmm.
But if a person was to say, what would a problem be that Dave has? If I look at his business, what's a problem that he's had that I could potentially solve? Right. And I guarantee if you took a look at an industry, once again, an industry that sort of interests you, and if you were to put some work into it and start things saying, well, my assumption is that this is the challenge that this industry is facing. For example, most businesses are lacking enough people. Right. All I know is that in the businesses that I own, right, our biggest challenge is finding more people. We'd have more growth. We just can't find enough people. Mm-hmm. So if you had a solution to say, hey, how do I find more people? I don't really care how old you are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care. If you have a solution to that problem, I'm going to take that meeting. Right.
Yeah,
so the idea would be is to be able to get yourself exposed as much as you can. Right. To other people. Right. Mm-hmm. To be able to go to business events. Right. Connect people through LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Be able to find people within an industry that you are interested in and send them a letter. Mm-hmm. Right. And you don't email. I would suggest that you send it by FedEx.
Okay.
Right. Make an investment because people always open their FedEx, right? So they're going to read that letter. And then the key thing is here are four keys. And I've seen this. The business is all about credibility and trust. And sometimes when we're younger, we don't have credibility and trust. So here are four keys that are vitally, vitally, vitally important. And I've seen really successful people who are really not did not really accomplish what they should. They're really smart. They're very talented. And they miss these four things. And these four things, when you hear them, you and your audience are going to say, I already know those. They're very basic. The mm-hmm. challenge is not to execute, to be good at it, not to be great, but to be elite at it. So number one is to show up early.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable that people will come to me late. You're already done. You're already done, right? Because you just said to that person, I'm more important than you and your time's not important. The second thing is do what you say you're going to do and finish what you start.
Okay.
Do what you say you're going to do and finish what you start. So if you say to a person, they give you something to do, say, I'll do it on Friday at 5:00, then do it at Friday at 5 o'clock and finish it to 100%. But a lot of people talk a good game, but they don't follow through and they don't follow up, or they get to 90% or they get to 95%. That last 5 or 10% is the most difficult. You got to be able to push through. So if you can build a reputation of showing up early, like Vince Lombardi, greatest football coach ever, show up 15 minutes prior. If you can create that habit in your life, you're not going to be racing in life. You build your calendar that my life, I'm going to be there by meetings at 1:30. I got to be there at 1:15. So it's going to take me half an hour to get there, and I'm going to leave by 2:45. If you do that, you'll be peaceful. And people have their phones. So there's something you can do for 10 or 15 minutes while you're waiting, right? It's not like you're sitting.
You won't be bored.
That's it. And if you do what you say you're going to do, finish what you start, that's a huge value. Because there's a lot of people, I guarantee, if you ask business people, what's your frustration? I just can't people to finish what they start. Mm-hmm. Right. And the third thing is say please and thank you.
Sounds easy enough.
And the fact that people don't do that, right? So if you have a chance to meet somebody, the old saying is, if you're poor, take a rich person to lunch. Is true, right? To be so you can learn from them. So if you don't have a job, take a person that does get a job and thank them. Say, hey, what could I learn from you? Ask them questions, right? And then buy their lunch. But if a person gives you a meeting, if they give you a time, if they do something to help you, say please and thank you, right? And it's easy with a text, with an email. Write them a note. They will fall off their chair. They've never seen anything like that. Right? And then do the fourth thing is do it 100% of the time. Not 99% of the time, 100% of the time. So show up early. Do what you say you're going to do. Finish where you start. Say please and thank you. I guarantee you you'll separate yourself from 99% of the people in this world.
Yeah, no, I mean, those are four huge tips. And you'd think, right? Because, I mean, everybody would say, oh, I've heard that before, or I've done it before, but it's one thing. And I think that's something even beyond the four tips, that it's one thing to know it and to hear about it and be like, oh, I need to do that. But it's another thing to do it and to really internalize and fully understand that.
Yeah.
And on the same topic too, of kind of knowing, but not fully understanding, one of the things you've talked about a lot is the idea of focus, right? Having like a clear, like a something you're focused on, right? You have a crystal clear idea of either what you want. And this is either personal or in a business, just knowing, kind of having an understanding. How important is that for you, for your companies to have this very clear focus?
Yeah, vitally, vitally important, because I think distraction is one of the biggest barriers to us doing our greatest work and creating value. Because the great equalizer, very simple term, is that time is the great equalizer. Mm-hmm. We only have 24 hours, right? We all have to sleep, right? We all have to eat. We all have to prepare ourselves, right? We have to do some exercise, spend some time, human interaction. So time is a great equalizer. So whether or not you're 21 or 31 or 61 or 71, you have the same amount of time, right? So, and as you get further down in life, there's more things you got to be able to manage. Right. So you got to be able to stay focused on what you're going to be able to do and go deep, deep into that, into the focus, and be able to remove those distractions. So when I talk about time being the great equalizer, the differentiator is your energy. So I had a chance to be able to be exposed to some top 1%ers in business and entertainment sports over the years. And what really hit home to me was that they had the same amount of time. So a guy that's doing $2 billion a year has the same amount of time as I do. And obviously they're smart, but they're not 1,000 times smarter than us. Like, they're definitely really smart, but obviously their net worth is significantly, significantly different. So they were very careful with their time, but what they were really good at managing was their energy. Because your energy that goes into that time can give you an accelerated performance. So that's why you got to stay focused. But if you're distracted, you're wasting a lot of energy, right? So knowing here's what I'm going to go. So sometimes the best decision is what you say no to, because it keeps you focused on what you're going to be able to do. So it's that unit of energy is the thing that you invest in your time, allows you to be able to get more of an output.
Yeah. So it's not everybody's the same amount of time, but if you use it wisely and if you're, using it as efficiently as you can, that is what's going to put you ahead. If you had to go back and restart your career at 20 or so, you have all this energy in today's day and age, what are there any like really just crystallized clear pieces of advice or things you would live by, or even your mindset going forward for these college students who are graduating or have recently graduated? What would you do?
Yeah, a couple things. So we're, you know, having those discussions with my 17-year-old sons right now, right, as they begin to get ready for their senior years and then for college, is one is not to doubt yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Really not to doubt yourself. I believe that doubt is the greatest killer of success, our greatest work of peace and happiness. I really do that. It's doubt. So not to be able to doubt yourself and the fact that we're going to work it out. You'll just work it out. Right. And to recognize that we're already like we're in part of the lucky sperm club.
Yeah.
Like we really are in. I'm not saying that that our country doesn't have to get better. Right. We do. But that's why we need young leaders like you and your audience to be able to step up and say, hey, I'm going to take this country in the right direction. But the reality is we're all part of the lucky sperm club where we have a chance to really, you know, be clothed and be fed and be housed and an opportunity and a marketplace to be able to go out and create value. And there's opportunity for us. So to eliminate doubt from a career standpoint, one of the things I would think about is to learn two languages.
Interesting.
What I mean by that, language number one is I would learn finance. If I was to go back, I would go back because I wanted to always be in business, and I am. But the language of business is finance. Doesn't mean you need to be an accountant. Doesn't mean you're going to be an accountant. Nothing wrong with that. Great professions. But that's the language of business is finance. And as an individual, we live in an economic world where we have to take care of our own finances. Right. It's crazy the country that we live in where the vast majority of people are paycheck to paycheck, where the vast majority of people have no retirement. It's crazy. How did that happen? Because that was never taught. How that's not taught in, you know, starts in middle school and then high school and in college is perplexing to me. So I would learn that language of finance. And it's no different than if you were to go to Italy. If you know some of the language, you can function a little bit. But if you were fluent, you can really experience the country. No different than finance. So learn that language. And then the second thing is then find another language. So find an industry. Find an industry that really fascinates you and learn the language of that industry. So whether or not you're in investments or in real estate or you're in healthcare, whatever that may be, right, in manufacturing, software, be able to learn that language, right? Learn that language and not once again, learn a little bit of it, right? But to be fluent in that language. So if you understand finance, you understand how business works, and you understand the language of that industry, you're going to be well on your way.
Yeah, no, that's huge. And I mean, obviously, once you understand two languages, you can really speak in language of an industry, you're going to get that in with people, and they're going to connect with you on a deeper level.
Yeah.
Those are all, you know, learned a ton so far. And I mean, obviously, you've learned a lot through experience, but also through some resources that you've been exposed to. And I want to get into a quick lightning round. And the first question is, what is your favorite business book or podcast?
So my favorite business book is How to Swim with Sharks Without Being Eaten Alive. So written by Harvey McKay. Harvey McKay is a best-selling author, very successful businessman from Minneapolis at a large envelope company, and who at 91 probably has more energy than most 21-year-olds. Tremendous human being. But I read that book in my 20s, totally had a huge impact in my life. It talked about the key that business is all about relationships. So that's where I really understood relationship capital. And relationship capital to me is more important than actually financial capital. I can do more with the relationships than I can actually do with money. So you have to have both, but the relationship capital, How to Swim with Sharks Without Being Eaten Alive, was definitely a very impactful book for me.
That's awesome. No, that, I mean, obviously a great piece of advice for, again, relationships. I think that's probably one of the biggest things I've learned from you is just the ability to build relationships and how important that is. What is your biggest pet peeve in business?
The reason I still do what I do, people not being treated with dignity and respect.
Yeah, right.
Like exactly. I have no time for that. And that's why I challenge leaders that for them to lead. And if you think that leadership is about you, you need to step aside and get yourself solid, because when you're in that leadership role, you have been given the power to influence the hearts and minds of others, and your responsibility is singly on them. And when people are in that position of power and do not treat people with dignity and respect, I have no time for, and I'm definitely going to do what I can to make sure that they see that's not correct. So we're all play different roles in life, but we all have value in life, and we all deserve to be treated that way.
Yeah, I mean, as a leader, right, responsibility falls on you. I know we talked about a lot about relationships and networking. What is your best networking tip, trick, whatever?
So my best tip would be to be a gas person. And what I mean by that, and pardon my language, is that a gas person is a person that actually gives a shit, right? So if you do not care about people, then do not network, because that'll be a form of manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
You want to, your networking is that you want to become fascinated in meeting other people, learning about them, learning about what's important to them. And then as you become interested in them, they'll become interested in you. And that your reason, though, is to be able to create that relationship with that person, whether you do business or not.
Mm-hmm.
What I've learned, though, is people do want to do business with people that they like and that care for them. And so I owe everything that I have outside my faith is all due to the relationships that I have. Like, I am an incredibly, incredibly blessed man. When I take a look at the people that I have a chance to do business with, the people that are on the teams that I'm part of, incredibly, incredibly fortunate. So that's the key. You got to be very, very interested in them. And my opinion is that every person you meet, you do your best to be able to stay in touch with. It's very easy early on. You think, well, how can this person add value to me? And that sometimes becomes the filter. Every person can bring value to you. You just never know when that's going to be.
Yeah, right. You have to show a genuine interest in the person. I think that's what separates, you know, an authentic relationship for one that's maybe not so much.
100%.
You've had a lot of experience leading. What's a skill that every leader should have?
The ability to encourage.
Mm-hmm.
Ability to encourage. I've studied this for over 40 years. And I've asked probably over 10,000 people, maybe more than that. I've asked them, as you look back in your life, who was it that encouraged you? And what's amazing is that people could come up with sort of between 2 to 5 people. Really? 2 to 5 people in their whole life, they think of people that actually encouraged them.
Yeah.
Right? Great. So like a parent, maybe a grandparent, a teacher, a coach, a boss, 3 to 5. It makes no sense when you think about the opportunity that they could have to be encouraged is almost limitless. And when you ask a person, what did that form of encouragement do for you? It wasn't just a positive impact. It had a dramatic and significant impact on their life, that the way that they looked at themselves was totally different. They saw themselves in a way because of that encouragement they didn't see before. It removed the doubt that they thought that they weren't capable of being able to do something. They made a life choice on where they were going to go to school, what they were going to do in their life, a job they were going to do, the business they were going to start. So in my opinion, encouragement is the most valuable skill that a leader can have, because it eliminates doubt, which doubt is the biggest barrier for a person doing their greatest work.
No, I love that. And I really think that people underestimate how much of an impact they can have on others, right? Like it maybe sound like a simple thing to encourage that person, but like you said, it really has such a dramatic impact on them. Finally, I know you're involved with a ton of businesses, and I'm sure at some point they've been a little stressful. What's your go-to method for handling stress?
Well, it's my faith. That's the foundation. So I've not dealt with stress in a long time, and I have peace in my life, and it's 100% based on my faith. So I sit here all through to the glory of God, and that is what gave me peace in my life and stress. And when you realize that, wow, you have your back covered, and no matter what happens, you're loved unconditionally, and your loyalty is unmatched, and faith is unwavering. When you have a foundation like that, I mean, what would there be to be stressed about? So the foundation is all based on my faith, and that's what gives me really a stress-free life, and most importantly, a peaceful life.
Yeah, exactly. Peaceful. I think it's so important for someone to like find that, or find what makes them, you know, peaceful, etc. Well, thank you so much, Dave, for being on. I'm going to end with one final question. You've shared so much, and you've had such a, you know, so much success as a leader, as, you know, investor, as everything in your career. Overall, if you had to narrow it down, what has been the biggest key to your success? I'm sure you've probably mentioned it before, but really just the core key to your success as a leader, or as a just a businessman in general?
Well, it's my faith, my family, and my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It really is. So, yeah. It all comes down to how do you measure your life and what's success to you? Right? And I always say that, you know, when I work with some leaders, different parts of the world, I challenge them to think about how do you measure your life? Like, really, what is important? And what happens if you don't, you immediately default to your job, your income or your net worth. And I'm not saying economics is not one form of measurement. I get that.
Yeah.
But it's much more than that, right? So it's your health, right? It is your happiness. It's your fulfillment. It's the relationships in your life. So how do you, and then what's that worth then? So if you spend time with your family, do you celebrate that as much as you celebrate $1 million deal? Do you have a chance to go hiking, being outside? Do you celebrate that as much as you do with an opportunity in hiring a new employee? So I encourage people to really be able to focus in on the things that are important. At the end of the day, I believe life is about your faith, about your family and your friends. And of course, we live in an economic world, so we do need to be able to find a job or a career where we can support ourselves economically, and we'll do that. But your happiness is going to come from your faith, your family, and your friends.
Yeah, it really does come down to that. Thank you so much, Dave, again, for being on. I really appreciate all the time and everything you share. This has been an incredible episode.
Hey, pleasure's all mine. And kudos to you for being a young man who once again has their head really directed in the right way to be able to, how do I bring value and wisdom to others, right? And so a lot of people could take information and just hoard it themselves, afraid of sharing with others, that that person may take that information, get ahead of you. You have an abundant mentality, which says, no, I'm here to be able to gather this information. I'm going to use it myself, but I'm going to share it with others. So kudos to you to be able to realize that at 21. Your parents hopefully are incredibly proud of you and who you are. And there's no question that life is going to provide great things for you because you've got your head on straight, recognizing it's all about the people.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate that, Dave. Thank you so much. And yeah, for those listening, I really do hope you got out of it, because I've learned so much from Dave and everybody else on the show. And it's been amazing to talk to people like you. So thank you again so much. This has been awesome.
My pleasure. My pleasure. All the best. All right. God bless.
Have a good one.
That was Dave McClurg. In the pursuit of being elite at whatever you do, Dave outlines a framework built around three fundamental circles. The first is about your highest value activities, the two or three things you don't just do well, but slay at, the ones that actually give you energy rather than drain it. The second is relationships, the people you want to work with, the customers who value what you bring, and the vendors and partners who share your mindset. Finally, the third is environment, the setting where you do your best thinking and most impactful work. When all three circles overlap, activity, relationships, and environment, you step into your elite performance zone. This is where you truly perform at a high level. At the heart of it all is energy. Energy is the great equalizer. Some people have more money, more experience, more connections, but everyone has the same amount of time in a day. What levels the playing field is how you use your time, and energy is what governs that. It's not just what you do, it's what fuels you and how efficiently you do it. Dave also introduces the idea of learning two languages. First, learn finance. It's the language of business and the foundation of personal wealth. If you understand how money works, how value is created, and how to measure success financially, you'll gain a powerful edge. Second, learn the language of your industry. Every sector has its own jargon. Become fluent in how your field operates. If you can speak both finance and your industry's language, you're already well on your way to a successful career. And in every interaction, every project, every room, be a gas person. That's someone who brings energy, momentum, and clarity, not someone who slows things down or creates drag. Be the person who makes things better just by showing up. Above all, Dave leaves us with this. Kill doubt early. Doubt grows when left unchecked. So root it out fast. Replace it with action, clarity, and confidence. Encourage people. Because momentum doesn't come from knowing everything. It comes from doing it. Thanks for listening. This week, I encourage you to encourage someone else. Maybe someone you wouldn't normally have. Chances are, it'll make a difference in their day. And maybe more. I'll see you next Monday. In the meantime, keep building something great. Thanks for tuning in.